daycare issues between police officers and doctors. We also are working with local cancer center for about 10 minutes away from Glencoe, who is having staffing trouble right now because their staff can't find daycare. We've also been in contact with North Shore Hospitals. Jess was on the phone with their director of human resources, letting them know that there is some options too if we decide to go ahead with this on Monday. It's worth noting that the closest emergency daycare center is in Evanston and Skokie, and we don't see any north of us right now. There's a lot of temporary daycare cities in the city, which are one person, people's home daycares. We're one of the more larger daycares. Jess will talk about some of the other, what we provide that some others don't too, including bilingual. I'm going to turn it over to Jess because she's really been working 24 hours a day on this with our team and doing a great job. Been able to roll this out since we started discussing this over a week ago. She's turned it around and has really done an excellent job. So, Jess, I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah, so the next thing to go over is what does this emergency license mean? Obviously, we already have a DCFS license through the state of Illinois for Children's Circle. All of those licenses are currently suspended. Under Pritzker's order, you cannot run a child care center without an emergency license right now. So the reason the emergency license exists is because essential workers are having such a hard time responding to this pandemic without child care. Our license covers us for 50 children from ages 6 weeks through school-aged children. So really, we can take anybody under the age of 18 that needs care at this point. As Bobby said, we are one of the few people in the area. We also, because of our amazing staff, are able to provide special need care as well as bilingual care, which is very unique, obviously, in the North Shore area. So basically, who can enroll? Based on DCFS's rule, they sent out a list of who counts as an essential worker under Pritzker's order. With that, they consider to be essential to physically be going to work. Many of our parents are essential, but working from home, and the recommendation is still that if you can keep your children at home, keep your children at home. Obviously, the rules keep changing on these things. We've been in our contact with our DCFS rep every day this week, just trying to get the process, you know, through so that we can start this. Things continue to change as the orders will change and we get more information on what this all looks like. So in terms of the logistics of what Monday and next week and the foreseeable future will look like, we did develop an operating plan of what it looks like from the minute the parents pull into the parking lot until the minute they pull out of the parking lot, you know, 12 hours later. So it has been filed and approved by DCFS. They had to look over our plan and make sure that we were following all CDC recommendations at this time. We are providing PPE for our staff. We have disposable masks as well as one of the recommendations was scrubs, because obviously for children under the age of 2, it is very hard not to comfort them and potentially get bodily fluids on your person. That way when the teachers leave, they can take that off and go home and clean clothes to their families. Like Lisa said, we got a really positive response from our staff. Within 5 minutes of me sending that email, I had over 10 staff that said, I will return as soon as you need me. The rest of the staff we had a meeting with and basically went over all of the provisions that we put into place and afterwards said, okay, now that I know these are in place, I'm ready to come back. So we have more than enough staff to meet the needs of what we of who we currently have enrolled for Monday. This also is a good way to have a soft opening for our Children's Circle Center. We are still hoping to open Children's Circle as soon as the governor's order is lifted. And this will help us kind of go through the process of, you know, getting the children, how do we get into the children into the building, how do we get staff into the building safely, and run at full capacity. The license, I think Bobby mentioned this, is for 50 children. Our typical license is for 135. So it is, you know, obviously decreased, but for safety reasons. And then the last point to touch on was billing. So we are charging for the program. The one thing to note is that the state is paying for a lot of essential care workers' child care during this time. So, Bobby, you want to take...
Yeah, we're just going to open up to any questions any of the commissioners may have about it, or concerns or comments.
How many kids are enrolled for Monday?
Right now we have 7 that have officially enrolled.
We've had about 25 people reach out to us.
Yes.
A lot of them seem to get a little, is it more than that, Jess?
Yeah, so the original survey was 28 responses that they would use the child care. People got a little nervous at the end, or they said it is, you know, they are staying at home. So really the 7 families that we have coming on Monday are, like Lisa said, a police officer, 2 doctors, and then somebody on a production line.
Yeah, I think this is awesome, and I cannot tell you how proud I am to be a commissioner on a board like this, where you guys are working overtime to, I think, to do your part. I see it with the activities that my kids do, but to see, to really make a difference for some of these first responders and use that burden is awesome. So congratulations and thank you. I have talked a little bit with President Brooks on this matter, and so I think I'm fully versed. The only one question I have for you is, do you see any challenge with somebody, with a teacher saying, you know what, I don't want to work now? And that's in pile A, and you've got teachers who do want to work in group B, getting compensated the exact same. Is there any challenge that you guys see with that, or any work that you will do to mitigate issues there?
So we are sending out a letter after this meeting's over to all of our staff, and Carol can address that if they aren't able to work under a certain standard. Do you want to address that, Carol?
Sure. So per the Family First Corona Response Act, there are certain provisions, i.e. if the employee themselves has COVID, if they're caring for somebody in their family that has COVID, if there are child care issues related to the COVID pandemic. There's an actual election form that was given to us. I had Rod Bush review it this morning, along with the letter that's written directly from Lisa to the daycare staff, Children's Circle daycare staff, basically saying that obviously we're paying you during this time, but we've been presented this opportunity to provide this wonderful service, and that if there's any reason, i.e. the election form that it's going to be sent with that, that we would want to know that right away so that we get any indication of, you know, because there are staff, maybe they are taking care of somebody.
Right.
We don't know. We have to give them an opportunity to respond and let Jess know, hey, something's going on and I can't be. And from there, we would have to have further discussions at the management level. But it was reviewed by Bush. I think it's very helpful to send out. And it kind of says, you know what, we are paying you, but we've always said if we had an opportunity to bring you back to work, as a lot of staff have been working this whole time, then we were going to do that. So I'm glad to hear that most of them responded right away to you, Jess.
Yeah, I think you just need to be cautious that there's going to be, there's 3 categories, right? You've got the people who want to come back, and fit into that sort of CARES Act exception that can't come back, and then you may have people that just don't want to come back, and I can understand that. I just think that needs to some considerate thought for how to work with those individuals.
And we have dealt with that with other departments, and so we're going to be going over that what we're going to do with those individuals that fall in that 3rd category.
Okay, thank you. But great, I mean, Jess.
And there may be, I'm not going to rule out, but we don't have a recognition because we haven't really figured out the finances of that. And we don't come back will be working. But we may come back to you when this is all over and say, hey, can we get some PTO for the ones that stepped up and work? We just don't know what that entails and how much it will cost. So we're not really ready to make a formal recommendation for that at this time.
Okay.
But very good question, Michael.
Yeah, very good question, because it is true. It's like, well, you're getting paid, and You know, and you are working.
No. I just like to interject that we faced this issue at my company, and we have not. We were concerned that we might have an issue with people saying, "Hey, I'm getting paid, you know, the same to work as somebody who's staying home," but we have not actually seen people complain about that.
We found the same thing too, and you know, at this time, I think people want to be seen as essential to our staff. Moving forward after June, so.
Will you look also at the level of, down to the level of people who are considered higher risk, like with underlying conditions and, you know, autoimmune or immune suppressant medications or all of that whole category that is sort of not your business, but now it's your business, you know, because that could be a reason why I might say, if it were me, you know, I really want to work, but
absolutely.
I'm really worried about this.
That falls into the form that Carol was talking about.
It's all part of, so they have they
absolutely.
Have, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They don't have to tell us what it is. They just, the doctor would say they're not able to work.
I got it. Okay.
Right. So they, it's, and that's all secure. I no one else sees it but Carol and HR. So we're very secure about that. So.
Okay.
And Lisa.
And but that's it. We're very private, but yeah, that is a, and we take that, we want to make sure our staff is safe as possible.
And Jeff, I like how you said that. I mean, I've said this to my friends too. It's like you're frozen and you have to move forward at some point. Mm-hmm. And it is nice that this is a small group. You can test out everything you're doing before you're faced with a larger group, and I think that's a huge benefit. I mean, not only to the people you're helping here, but a benefit to the whole park district to see how these processes will work and adjust.
It's definitely going to be a benefit to us when we're able to open day camp and things like that. I'm thrilled if we only have 7 to 10 the first couple of days, because that will help us really, you know, it's like we do soft openings in restaurants, so it'll help us do a soft opening and get that all done. We have some precautions. Chris will talk about in a second our cleaning regimen, but we will only allow certain people down in that wing. It'll be authorized only by me who can go in that wing. So we're just, I won't be allowed in that wing. Bobby won't be allowed in that wing. Obviously, Jess will, but there might be a point where you say, Jess, you're in that wing, but you're not coming out of your office, because we want to make sure that nothing happens to you when we're going through this whole thing. And he might have someone else greet parents and things like that, so she could do the administrative.
Best friends and granola bars.
Yes, yes. But we're going to be very careful about there. There's going to be one maintenance personnel allowed down in that wing. So that way, we keep it very secure that our any touch points of anybody going in is very careful. I believe, Jeff, they're going to, parents have to drop off outside. They're not even allowed in. But, yeah. So that all those different things will put precautions in place to protect everyone. And Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about our maintenance?
Yeah, so the first thing we did was we started the CDC guidelines. So myself and my team, the management team, reviewed those guidelines today to make sure that all the products that we're using and the styles that we're cleaning in our regular cleaning meet those CDC guidelines. So we are good with that. DCFS is pretty strict in you know, requiring the use of a chlorinated product, which, based on the EPA guidance that I've seen, the sodium hypochlorite is the most effective cleaner for the coronavirus, so we're in good shape with that. The other thing that we've done for the time being is we've been able to source a hospital-grade air filter for our air filtration systems. So we're about able to triple effectively the filtration abilities. I mean, it's not the same as like a HEPA filter on an airplane or something like that, but it's the best that we could do under the circumstances. So. In all, we've got our full-time custodian, Max, assigned to the classroom, so we really started with really our top full-time cleaner. We anticipate that he'll be spending between 4 to 6 hours cleaning those three classrooms a day after the programs are over. So we've also looked at what common areas, you know, making sure that we are tracking where staff are going to the bathroom, where they're going to lunch, you know, how they're coming in and out of the building, because we just don't want to have any misses. So really it's just about, there's a lot of habits that you get in the habit of using the same bathroom or eating your lunch in the same place or using the same coffee cup. And right now, just based on the emergency lights, we're not taking any risks.
Jess, can you talk about the playground a little bit?
Sure. So we are able to use the playground because it's closed to the public, and because the gates, you know, that Chris and his team put in are lockable. So basically they're called cohorts instead of classrooms right now, but each cohort will be assigned to a specific playground area, and they're not able to switch between areas. So that specific area is for them to use and them to use only.
Does anybody else have any other questions?
I wanted to ask about the staffing ratios. Did they change with respect to these particular people, kids?
Yes. Yeah. So each cohort, again, can only have a maximum of 10 children. So the majority of our classrooms, actually all six of them in Children's Circle, typically have more than 10 children in them. Our infant room, our emergency license covers for 8. Our typical one is 12. And then so for ratios, it brings it down a little. Typically our ratio for a school-age child or for a 4-year-old is 1 to 10. But obviously, we are not going to leave a staff member alone with children all day because they will need to take bathroom breaks and things like that. So there will be 2 staff in every room at all times.
Good.
Someone else had a question?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask if we've discussed, I'm not sure if I should ask to Carol or Lisa, but have we checked into whether, like, what our liability exposure is if somebody were to contract it and blame us in a legal sense?
Yep. Join that, Carol. Yeah, actually, we had a discussion about this in our staff meeting yesterday because there was a rumor brought up that the workers' comp characterization had changed through the Illinois Industrial Commission. PDIRMA sent out a learn alert yesterday, and that has not been the case officially, that there was a change, then it was reversed, then somebody claimed a lawsuit. So they can't guarantee that it's not going to change at some point in the future. But right now, if someone were to contract it, there is no way to tie it to being a workers' comp claim where we would be, we'd have that liability.
But with that said, if we do have someone that comes down with the virus, they will get paid time off to fight that.
I believe they have at a minimum 2 weeks with that CARES Act, right?
There's 2 weeks immediate paid sick leave for that person, and then there is the potential for family medical leave, which again is at our cost, depending on if that is. For the sickness itself, it's paid at 100%. If not, then it's paid at 66 2/3%. And that's all a part of the FFCRA Act.
So, thanks, Carol. That you actually answered a question that was different than the one I was asking, but it was a good answer. so you were asking about, like, if a staff member contracted it, but I was asking, and your answer was just as good. I wish I had asked that question too.
You're asking about a student.
What if a student contracts it and a parent says, "Hey, it's your fault. I'm going to sue you."
Got it. I would have to lean to Jess to actually answer that one. There is a waiver that they signed. I don't know if there's any special waiver they sign as a part of it being an emergency daycare center, Jess.
There's no special waiver. They do still have to fill out all the normal paperwork through DCFS. I imagine I would have to do more research on it. I imagine would be, you know, you have all of the information about what this center is, and you're opting to put your child in the center.
PDIRMA did give us a response on that, Lisa, for your email the other day, and they said as long as you have a license, there should not be a liability issue. As long as your license, which we do have.
Mm-hmm. And then Rob Bush followed up because we checked after PDIRMA. They said check with your corporate counsel, so we followed up with him, and he saw the same. He had the same opinion. So I think we're fine.
Great. Okay.
Those are good questions.
Mm-hmm. Question. The license is only for 30 days.
Correct.
And so there's a chance that we might have to extend it or amend it.
No, we're opening up. Everything in the state is open up on May 31st. Suddenly, everything is opening up on May 31st.
You keep on dreaming, Michael.
On record.
Yeah. We were saying that Ravinia is closed for the season, but we won't go there. So we're going to be flexible on that and address that in the future.
And it's very easy to apply for the license again. Basically, the first application was our action plan, new background checks for every staff member who will be in the wing, and a couple of other pieces of paperwork that were able to be put together in 24 hours. So I have no doubt that it would be able to seamlessly go through another month if needed or more.
A quick question for Bobby. Bobby, you mentioned that the stages at which you're going to make it available to different groups and eventually North Shore hospitals, and I just want to ask that there could be and probably are especially essential medical workers in Glencoe who may work at hospitals that aren't North Shore hospitals that could be working in the city, Ruth in general, or such, to make sure we're accommodating our Glencoe residents first and not inadvertently missing that they just may not work on the North Shore.
That's absolutely. Yeah, we're looking at doing a communication plan. So it has already gone out to Children's Circle, families, Kids Club families, and then the goal was to get it out, I think, this evening or this morning. The community, it's already gone out, actually, in a letter. But
actually, my letter that went out, it went out today in my letter, that if they're interested in signing up for that, they just have to call Jessica. So it's already, we're first with Children's Circle, Kids Club, and then our community through the letter today.
Okay. Yeah. And you'll keep at that, because you know how most people, one pass, two pass, three passes, they kind of figure it out. I think as the success of this, or as people see that it is a viable thing and it's actually working and it's happening, there will be less resistance, you know, accepting it and using it. That's a guess, but that's what I think.
Is it sort of first come, first serve, and open up for everybody in the community?
It is. So we contacted Children's Circle and Kids Club early in the week so that they had first priority. And now we're just, I've been taking, you know, phone calls and emails from other families and explaining what it looks like, and then they can come back to me if they're ready to start.
It sounds like we don't have a demand problem at this, an over-demand problem at this point.
Not at this point.
Yeah, not at this point, yeah.
Jess, my last question is I'm sure that you guys have thought of almost everything you can possibly think of, and I'm sure there's going to be things that you have not thought of. Have you reached out to the daycare centers in Evanston or in the city to say, look, here's our plan, you know, what is missing from this plan? What is we're coming into this new, but there are places that have been doing this for 8 to 12 weeks, what now, that we can benchmark. Have we done that exercise?
I have not yet. To be honest, when I did the search last Friday, there were no centers within 100 miles, so all of those centers have been added in the last 7 days.
Okay, you want my manager's has two kids, and her daycare has been open the whole time. They've consolidated into one.
Sure. It's likely they weren't added to the actual DCFS website until then.
Okay, but I can get you one, but I think that, look, you guys are light years ahead of probably most people out there. I just think that there are always unintended challenges that come up, and we can just dot our I's and cross our T's. Now, granted, it's Friday afternoon, and we're open up on Monday, but I'm a big fan of benchmarking.
That's great. Yeah, we are, too, because we always like to talk to people to brainstorm solutions, help each other. That's what we do.
I'll send to Lisa Shepherd the name of the daycare if you want to reach out.
That's great. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, so then we're good to go, and I'm sure it'll be a busy weekend for the early childhood team. So Jessica, I can't thank you enough for all your hard work on this. Really, we just said, is there any way to get emergency daycare? And she ran with it. So kudos to you and Bobby and your whole team. I know your whole team's been working on it. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I think we're doing a really good service.
I can't tell you guys, I'm so proud that y'all did the blood drive and you guys are doing this. It makes us look good. I'll probably ask for the other board members as well. What can we do to help you guys out through this? What is it that y'all need from us?
Well, I can tell you already did it by allowing us to keep our staff.
Okay.
Because the things we're doing in this park district are because we did not immediately furlough or lay off all of our staff. By having all of our full and part-time able, we are able to turn on a dime and be nimble and innovative. And I've seen the what's happened in other districts where they laid off immediately, they're not able to do nearly what we're able to do, and it's because we have the staff to do that. So I know, I appreciate you asking that. That's the biggest thing you could have done, is let us keep our staff and then get out of our way and let us be, do what we do best. So we really, really appreciate that. We really do.
Great.
All right, you know, Lisa, I keep asking you that, and you never really say anything, but just always keep it in mind. We're going to see if there's anything.
Thank you, we will.
I think it's good that you're paying everybody. I know there is a risk of those who are not working to upset those who are working, but I think there's also a very high danger that you'll feel forced to go back to work, because if you don't, you know, even though you feel especially vulnerable for valid reasons, if you don't, you won't be paid. So for now, this is, I think, a tough strategy.
Okay. All right. I do not have any other business. I mean, well, the only other business I have is that we're anticipating a nice day tomorrow, and we are busy. We are fully staffed for our park ambassador to keep the social gathering down on the beaches and stuff. We do have a pretty full agenda for Tuesday's meeting. It will concentrate on the beach, the boating beach, and other sports areas within the park district. And then if you saw on the agenda, then I asked if we could do another special committee meeting or board meeting, whichever we want to call it, for the following Tuesday, just to talk about camp. So these topics are so big, and we know we've been sitting through hours and hours and hours of meetings that we knew we couldn't cover all those in one meeting. So that's what we're looking at. So that's what our plan of attack is right now, is first the beach and sports courts, and then camp after that. So
I'm getting a lot of emails and texts this week. Lisa, I've already talked to you. People might be attending the Tuesday meeting. They know what the agenda is about. I already bothered Bobby today, but I just want to clarify what I bothered you about, because
sure,
I'm talking this afternoon. So people that are signed up now for camp, let's say we run camp and they don't want to send their kid. Do they get a refund? That's the first.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stephanie,
I'm
sorry to interrupt you. I have to excuse myself. Thank you, Jess and Bobby in particular, and for the staff in general. Great work. Really, really echo Michael's comments. I'm proud to be associated with the work, with you guys and the work that you're doing.
Thanks, Josh.
Have a good party, Josh.
Everyone,
thank you.
And I will tell you, if you don't want to send your kids, if somebody doesn't want to send their kid to camp, I want to meet them, because I can't wait.
No, I'm not saying it's me.
I can request that. Anybody who wants a refund for camp, we're going to give full refunds. We've already decided that. So what I would tell people to do, though, is there might be a time that we can only accommodate so many people in camp. So in my opinion, we're just starting to scratch the surface of that. We're going to take first come, first serve. So it's going to be based on when you registered, how many kids you take, and age will factor into that. So if they want to come to our camp, I would recommend they sign up for our camp. And if we don't run camp, we're going to issue full refunds.
But if you do run camp and someone, I meant personally too, like, you know, people don't know if their overnight camps are going to cancel. So people are asking me, can I sign up for camp? But then if my overnight camp runs, am I out the money?
Can people use the Glencoe Park District as an insurance policy with zero?
Yeah, no. I would say if it's COVID related, they're dropping out because of fear. Now, how are we supposed to know that?
I think that makes sense where you can tell people that the normal refund policy applies unless it is COVID related and as it pertains to some of the acts that are out there. Because I don't think people should be using our park district as an insurance policy.
I don't think they mean it that way either. I think the other calls I'm getting are this. Okay, well, how many kids are going to be in a group? How many, you know, everyone wants to know everything. Yeah. You told them, if they knew the information, they would tell you the information. When a decision is made, you will know. So they're saying, well, if I sign up and then I don't like what's going to be, how it's going to be run, am I going to get my money back? So I told them to call you.
And they would get, in that case, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the, those are the questions.
Yeah, if they,
if we
end up running camp and they don't like how, they don't believe how we're doing is safe for their child, then we would issue a refund. We actually have a survey, I don't know if it's gone out yet.
It went out today.
That's actually going to ask some of those questions. What is going to make you feel comfortable sending your children camp? I mean, we brainstorm all these things, but we want to hear from other people too. So,
Who did the survey go to?
It went to everybody currently enrolled right now in the program.
Shouldn't there be some kind of deadline to prevent a situation where people send their kids to camp and have a change of heart, and then, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like we could run into a problem where we fully staff and train and get a whole operation going, and then people come and go as they choose. Like, oh, my sleepaway camp's opened up for the last 3 weeks of August. I'm dropping out of camp and I want my money back. You know, or those sorts of circumstances.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Honestly, Lisa Brooks, it's the insurance policy, it's the insurance aspect that I think we have to give Bobby and Lisa and those folks time to think about that.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, I do.
It's not me.
You know, what I can say is that if we cancel, we'll give a full refund. You know, we also have a refund policy. It's Carol. It's like if you drop out a week before, you get charged 20%.
It was, but then we said anybody requesting it now, we would give the full refund, but they are not guaranteed the spot that if we do have camp, that it's going to be given to them.
Well,
yeah.
But there is, we live this in the airline world a lot, a published policy and an unpublished policy. And it sounds like, Carol, you have voiced over an unpublished policy. Your published policy in the brochure,
correct,
and on the website, is something that you can live by anytime that you want. If you want to overcome that with an override, I get it, but I don't think we have to. I think we need to give you guys time to figure out what that looks like, because every camp, and Stephanie, I don't know about your summer camp, but like the ones in Texas just shut down. For the whole summer, and
hasn't given me any sort of indication yet. And
yeah.
I mean, my sister's a camp director. She keeps telling me, like you guys said, the same guidance is coming next week, and then decisions will be made. So
CYJ just shut down.
Yeah, we're just waiting for guidance, and we're starting to some of that starting to filter down. But we'll give you a better answer to that. But If right now what we're doing is to get people are just really afraid to send their camp, there's no way they're knowing, we're giving them a full refund. But that we might set that policy come, you know, June 1st and say that's it. Now if you register, you're in unless you cancel. So we'll make a recommendation to you.
Somebody who's listening, one of my staff members is listening, just let me know. We've had 90 responses to the survey so far since this morning.
That's great.
We'll have a pretty clear indication of how people feel.
Yeah,
it's
great. Glad to see that.
I will tell you that you guys will definitely take my children, and I don't want them back. They're a rough 8 weeks.
Oh my gosh! All right.
Another question. I'm sorry. Three people talked to me about this, and I see why they would ask. So we're discussing Beach Tuesday. They've asked, okay, well, what happens with the early bird? Because they don't want to buy it now without knowing the guidance, which I understand. Now, it's a very narrow time window there of 2 days, so.
Yeah, we'll extend it. We'll be extending it for sure, because it is a different kind of world right now.
Yeah.
And we have definite recommendations we're going to make, so we'll definitely extend that. We do want people to know what we're going to be doing.
Bobby, I don't even think it's possible to buy a pass right now, is it? The way that
you can. I don't think we sold one.
We haven't publicized it at all because
we didn't want to be in this time public pushing, trying to sell something that we don't know what's going to happen. But we have talked internally about extending that early bird. So that is our game plan now. There's a lot of different scenarios out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of. We're still waiting for guidance for that. We were hoping that's what yesterday's. Webinar was on, and it was about trees, so we were very not happy about that. So, but we'll take our recommendation. We'll extend that. So,
And the goal line is going to keep moving forward as you wait and wait and wait until people go on the water. Because that sort of issue is so...
Yeah, that's all the issue.
That's a big one.
We're going to talk about that on Tuesday in more detail.
Yeah.
We'll have all those scenarios. That's where we've been meeting for about 6 hours a day, I swear, every day this week, going to every scenario and then going back over them and then doing them again. We have every scenario, I think, mapped out. So, but that's why you're not going to get any board packet probably till late Monday or Tuesday morning, because things are literally evolving hour by hour. We'll listen to the governor's announcement, and all of a sudden we'll get a flood of information. So that's why I hate to do that to you, but it's so evolving that we give you something that needs to be not even valid by Monday or Tuesday. So.
So Tuesday we may have a meeting where you say, as of today.
Yes, as of today.
And then, that's okay. It's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, that's the world we're living in. Yeah, and for planners, park district people are very much planners. So we pretty much now have planned for every scenario, and knowing that half of the bills will be crashed after each governor's announcement. So, yeah.
Okay.
Anything else
related to daycare?
No, I did send via chat to Jess the information on the daycare that she can reach out to, and I'll send you the email on stuff out there. But thank you guys, really, thank you.
Thank you for your support. We really appreciate it.
So have a good relaxing week.
Can't do this without you.
We have to formally end the meeting now, Lisa.
Yeah, you do.
Here we go. Okay. I entertain a motion to adjourn unless there's something else. No, I'm looking at your faces. Okay, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Okay, motion.
All right, thank you all.